Travis Parker is a 35-year industry veteran, educator, behind-the-chair stylist, salon owner, national and global L'Oreal artist, nominated as the Educator of the Year from NAHA, and the founder of Travis Parker Academy. Last time we had Travis Parker on the show, we learned what about his story and all the steps that he took to get there and all the things that he went through. And so today we're going to dig into tenacity, resilience, and balance, a topic that many of you have said that you'd love to hear more about. And I'm very happy and excited to bring Travis back to the show. Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong Show. I'm your host, Robert Hughes. And today I'm talking with Travis Parker. How are you doing today, Travis?
Solid, my brother. Solid. Thank you so much for having me back.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. If anybody who didn't listen to the last episode that we had you on, would you just give like a real quick high level recap? I know we talked a lot, but just give somebody a little bit of a foundation for the conversation.
Yeah. No, totally. I think that's a great intro. Last time we talked about a little bit about my story, that the 35 years that Robert just introduced with my title introduction, we talked about those 35 years a bit more in depth. And we talked about a lot of the different chapters in my life. And we talked about how those chapters were temporary. They were borrowed moments and one led to the next, but with a sense of focus on being the best that I could be, you know, what would that continuously lead me to as I was building from one of those temporary moments to the next? And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, the hardships in those moments and where the dips happened and those interims and how interim is really part of our life in the sense that that's the majority of our life. You know, milestones happen as 1% of our total collected life. You know, the other 99% is the interim. So, you know, what are we doing during that interim to really focus on our every single day that's leading us to our objectives? And how is that constantly building us in a sense of development and purpose and all those different things? So, yeah, our first podcast was that a good recap?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Listen to that one because it was good.
Yeah, definitely go back and listen to that one for sure. I think the important part for this conversation to hear about, in addition to what you just said, is that you went from school to salon to salon ownership. You got into education, and then you started. You built your own cutting program. You started doing production, and now you have this you know, big enterprise basically of where you're just doing so much. And if you want to know specifically what all that stuff is, go back and check out that last episode. But like, what I really liked about the last conversation we had was that you talked a lot about what you just mentioned is, you know, these times in between whether they're milestones or things happening, you know, milestone, I think of something positive. Right. Not necessarily. I just think that's the first thing that comes to my head. So
no, it's fair.
A milestone could be also something that it wasn't necessarily positive at the time that you could learn from and being able to pick yourself up and kind of keep moving forward. I think that is so powerful because so many of our audience have, you know, when we run some polls, we're doing polls. We try to do polls a couple times a year, and we ask people what do they want to hear about, and mental health comes up at the top. And that's mental health is a wide range, but I feel like this tenacity, resilience, and balance really kind of encompasses some of the biggest topics in that space. So I'm excited to have this conversation today.
Me too. Me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I would like to say, why don't we talk about, you talked about you had a salon and then you got in with, you really found Tony and Guy before you opened up your next salon. What point in time did you experience a period where you felt like it was, you know, looking back in hindsight, you know, your first experience with tenacity in this industry?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. This is sort of taking us back a minute now. Yeah, I think, my first bit of tenacity backs up to the very beginning. I mean, and I think that each one of us are tested as we're taking upon new things, regardless of what it is, you know what I mean? Because we've already got what we've already got to manage on a daily level. And then when we're taking on anything new, that's an addition too. And the 24 hours in a day, the sun, the moon still rotate the next day, regardless of what we're signing ourselves up for. So yeah, I think that, you know, we're proving our tenacity on a daily level upon taking upon new things and new challenges. You know, when I was going to cosmetology school, like I mentioned in our previous podcast, I was going to high school at the same time. Well, I was also a busboy at a Mexican restaurant as well when I was 16. So I go to school in the morning. In the afternoon, I'd take the city bus to cosmetology school because there's no direct transit otherwise. It was sort of my extended study thing. And then I'd go to school from, I think, 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 4:30 or 5:30 at night, something like that. And then I'd take the city bus to this Mexican restaurant and I'd work from then till 9 o'clock at night. Then my mom would pick me up from the Mexican restaurant because she wouldn't let me take the bus that late at night. And, you know, and that eventually got to a point, like about 6 months into it, to a year into it, that my parents came in and were like, no, you are a 16-year-old child and you have three major careers going on right now already. Like, what are you doing? And so my parents were like, you're giving up one thing and it's not, you know, it's not high school. So what are you going to give up? You know, the job's got to go because I got to finish cosmetology school and wrap that up. But you know, if we talk about tenacity, like how many 16-year-olds are starting at 7 a.m. at high school and finishing their last job at 9 o'clock at night instead of drinking and partying and raging and doing what we do in high school? You know, maybe you don't do that in high school. I did in between all those moments. So, but yeah, like tenacity was something that was, that I think was already in me. And tenacity wasn't a word that I knew at that time. Like I couldn't have told you what it meant, but what the common thread is in all of us when it comes to the word tenacity is desire. How much do we really desire something to happen? And how much are we willing to forfeit in order for it to come to fruition? And that's when tenacity is tested. And that's when you really start to define that word, I think, even more so. It's not necessarily in the full scope, but it's in the moment. It's in the 12th hour that you're like, all right, am I going to throw in the towel or am I going to keep going? And that is when you learn a lot about yourself, you know, when you're at your rock bottom and you're kind of in a deciding or defining moment, how do you move from there? And then when you make the wrong choice in that moment, how do you move from that next moment? And when you make the wrong choice from that moment, how do you move again? And how do you continue to find yourself on your feet? And you know, I think desire, again, is a big word. And for me, when it came to tenacity, I wanted to be the best. Like I wanted to feel comfortable at being behind the chair. I wanted to not stress when I cut somebody's hair. I was freaking the F out when I did hair all the time in the beginning. And again, I had all the creativeness to the end of the moon and back. Like I was an artist like that. I didn't have to pay for that. I'd have to practice that. That was just the way I was, right? You know, like most of us get into this. I think we can all relate to that. But everything else, you know, my cosmetology school didn't really teach me much. And so I got into my next space. And like I said, in our previous interview, they started teaching me that there was an infrastructure to our artistry. There was a form of architecture that built our vision, you know, just like any sense of architecture period, you know, the 2x4s hold up the building, how you skin it is the aesthetic that everybody else sees. But again, the architecture is more important than the skin, because without the architecture, the skin's going to fall apart. It's bones without, you know, or body without bones kind of thing. So yeah, they kind of filled that in for me. And when I started to understand that, then I realized that I was really in for a world of pain. Once I started to understand how complicated, you know, haircutting was, at least at that time. And this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. And so tenacity, I think in general is something that is defined through ambitious nature, desire, you know, in the last moment, you know, are you going to throw in the towel? And when failure is part of a process, it's not the end of anything. It's part of a process, and failure will happen. It's how you handle it at that moment and where you take it from there. Do you give up? Do you stop? Totally. You know, that's what ends things, is if you stop, that's when it's done. Failure is just part of an interim. Again, failure is part of a process. Failure is part of developing. I can't tell you one thing that I'm great at that I haven't failed at 14,000 times at. I wasn't born with gifts. I was born with a gift to want to desire to be better. That was my gift. Okay. I was born with a bunch of more shit things than good things. Like I was born the C student. I was born the last kid picked on any sporting team. Like if I wanted to participate and do something in the world, like I had to show up and really, with a tremendous amount of desire, drive harder than everybody else. And for me, in a lot of cases, I would have to practice twice as hard as the person that could do it without even thinking about it. And sure, I was envious, certainly at a young age. I was like, well, fuck, that sucks. Like, why is it so hard for me? And like, why is the world F with me? And why is my stuff always so crap and so easy for Robert and so easy for Michael and so easy for Julie and Janet and everybody? Why is life so freaking hard for me? And woe is me. And why me? Well, then you start to realize that your me is not so special on the planet. You're one more little ant traveling around the planet trying to figure out why they're there. So if you want to figure out why you're there, that's when you start driving down tenacity lane. That's why you start driving down desirable lane and what professionalism is and what defines world, you know, class to you. And those are the things that I think start to happen in the earlier stages that we start to learn about ourselves. But so those are the hard parts.
So the hard part. How would you define resilience?
You know, I think resilience is that. Yeah, resilience is that rebound moment. You know what I mean? And I, to me, and forgive me for my lack of clarity on understanding truly the differences. You know, resilience I find in those moments after failure. You know what I mean? But I think that that's probably. Maybe that's tenacity too. So I'm not sure I totally understand how to define the difference.
Well, I think of tenacity as like how you bounce back, and resilience is I think of how you endure. I'd actually look up the definitions. That's why I was asking you for your definition because I don't. So like to me, they're kind of the same. And when I think about it, what were you gonna say?
No, you just made me think for a second. Like tenacity. Wait, say what you just said again.
I didn't look this up, but when I hear tenacity, I think of how you bounce back, and resilience is how you endure, your ability to your endurance through things versus tenacity is like bouncing back, which they, I don't know if you can have one without the other really, but yeah, that's kind of how I think about it.
Well, I almost feel like maybe one would be like the tangible return of it, and one's the emotional return of it. Like one is how do you bounce back inside here, and one is how do you show up out here. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
You know, and I don't know where to clarify one versus the other under tenacity. Or
that's why we're there both together in the title.
But yeah, it's a cocktail. It's a cocktail, and the mental is probably 99% of it, and then the experiential or the technical is probably the 1%. And we focus on that 1% thinking that it's going to make us rich and famous overnight. And that's why so many of us have a long road because we're focused on the 1% of it versus, you know, the other majority of it, which is the mental. And again, when we get into tenacity, it's not like, you know, oh, did you go to that class or not? Or you're going to go to another class. You know, it's like, yeah, how many classes you're going to go to in a day? And like, what is your commitment to it? And what are you willing to give up? And again, what are you willing to forfeit? I know that when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the things that I was talking about was the mislead of social media right now. We are living in a generation right now. And I say this with love for social media, a true deep love for social media. And it's ability to help me position my product and market it and see so many other people's great product out there. I love it for that. But it is showing us the end result. It's not showing us the process. It's not showing us the interim. We see a lot of hashtags on affirmations, but are people living those affirmations, or are they just putting it out there as projections? And I say this because, again, you can't just say things on Instagram with affirmations and expect that to equate to tenacity and success. And expect that to be the process that leads you to winning. It's not. It's part of it, but it's not it. It's everything that happens in that interim. And so the mental strength of this is everything, because when you, again, are forfeiting hanging out with your friends, you're forfeiting having a relationship in your life, because that, again, with 24 hours, how much time do you have? You're forfeiting going to the concert. You're forfeiting like partying. You're forfeiting whatever. What are you willing to give up that allows you to mentally show up and deliver your technical? That again is only 1%. The 99% is the hard part. And that's where we really flounder. We don't want to give anything up, and we want everything for less sometimes. And that has to be earned. That is not a thing of time. We're living in a different generation in regards to that. No, you still have to pay your dues. You still have to define what expertise is. You can't tell me you're an expert and then show me that you're not.
Right.
You can't. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. That is embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, don't, like I said in our last interview, I don't even want a title. Like, let me just show you who I am and let me show you what I'm capable of offering. And then you decide what I am. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, positioning totally. The title is based upon an insecurity of where you're at. And that's not you accepting the process of you being in the interim, of being that expert that you want to become. That's your desire, but that's not where you're at. You have to accept where you're at. And again, like we talked in the last interview, life presents what you need, not what you want always. And I'm sorry for that, but that is fair for every single person on this planet. That is the reality. Life is unfair and it will drive you to exactly where you need to be. How do you show up mentally so that you can deliver technically?
That's good. So that's so good. So in the last episode, you just kind of, I mean, you talked about some things that you went through in your life that were big life-changing moments. You also said something about, I don't know what the word is, you crashed planes or something like that, like a bunch of planes.
Yeah, it's like I raided an airport and just hijacked them all and just crashed them all. Or maybe just a bomb right across the airport.
Well, if someone's in the midst right now of failure, they either see the writing on the wall. Well, that's not a really fair statement. Let me rephrase. They either foresee failure coming because they could say it's in their business and they can see their books or something like that. Or they are actually failing right now what do you have to say to them in that specific moment of like, I'm dealing with this right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the number one thing for, first of all, failure is a self-defined word. I mean, we could probably look it up and find a generic sort of statement, but I think we take that generic statement and we redefine it to ourselves. You know what I mean? Failure is a very emotional word. And based upon somebody else telling us that we're a failure or we telling us telling ourselves that we're a failure and something have completely two different realities to it, right? Like I could say I suck all day long, but then when somebody else says I suck that I care about, that's a dagger through my heart, right? And that could take me down way harder than any other sort of self-abuse that I might have. You know what I mean? But yeah, failure again is part of what we have to come to in the word acceptance. And acceptance is probably one of the more important words in life that we have to practice on a daily level. And I say this in a sense of urging you to put this in bold print out loud. Acceptance, 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 acceptance in every single category, in every single way. If we can't accept failure as part of a process, how do we expect to get to where we need to go? When 99.9, if not every single person on the planet has failed at one point with something, no matter how successful they are. Find me a person that hasn't failed once. That is a massive success. And I will be like, that bitch is from another planet. They're not even human. That's not human right there. That is not one of us. They are some green Martian from another planet. It just doesn't happen. And so, you know, I'm not going to tell you for one second, failure or being in a low moment is fun. It sucks. It's hard. And sometimes it feels like when it rains, it pours and everything's coming in at the same time. But back to what we had talked about in our last interview, the moment to have is the moment of acceptance to realize you're the common denominator. What have you done to create it? And what are you going to do to move from it? And that is everything. And none of it is comfortable. None of it's fun. All of it sucks. And you might have to disappear for a minute just to like get your head on straight. But that's okay, because we'll be right here waiting for you to come back. And we'll be right here on the sidelines cheering you on as well. But you have to get through those moments by having acceptance that it's you that have created it. What are you going to do because of it to become better from it? I say that, and then I just want to stabilize imposter syndrome real quick. And because this is a big thing in this, if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, it's when you're embarking upon a new level of something in your life and you don't feel that you're prepared for that level and you are maybe faking it till you make it. Can I please urge you never to fake anything until you make anything? You don't need to fake it. Nobody likes fake anything. I don't like fake handbags. I don't like fake people. I don't like fake experts. Like, F off all of it. You know what I mean? Like, don't just build authenticity. It doesn't need to be even the purse thing. Just build me a cool purse. It doesn't have to be a fake Louis again. Like, just build me something dope. You know, I think that the reality is that we want to be in a place that we're not. And we look at people in a sense of admiration and be like, I want to be them. Well, they wanted to be that other person. They wanted to be somebody else at some point as well. We all want to elevate ourselves. We all want to develop. When we are developing, we are putting ourselves at risk. And it takes a tremendous amount of strength to build something new, to grow from where you're at, to get out of a slump, to get out of a failure. It takes a lot, but it takes self-acceptance. It takes the fact that you don't need to have all the answers when you're embarking upon something new. You only need to know what you need to know. All the answers are already inside of you for where you're at that has led you to that moment. Just because the page flipped doesn't mean that the rest of the book didn't exist before you got to that page. This is just a progressive state of your life. And so you have to understand that picking yourself up and showing up is how you get out of failure. Accepting the fact that you effed up is part of life, and we all do. Every single one of us, not one person doesn't fail. And again, if they do, they're from another planet or they're lying to you straight up. I haven't met them yet, or her, or them, or whatever. Like, I just don't know if it can exist. We're supposed to learn from our mistakes. It's just, the point is, we're supposed to learn. And we don't need to fake things. We don't need to be where we're at, or we don't need to be anywhere else but where we're at. We don't need to say that we're an expert when we're not. Allow yourselves to be mortal. Allow yourselves to be transparent. Allow yourselves to be where you're at. If I sit down with an 18-year-old kid that's like, Trav, I don't know anything about haircutting. Like, show me what to do. Like, I'd be like, okay. Instead of some 18-year-old kid that's like, dude, I'm super dope. Like, watch this. And I'm like, all right, 18-year-old kid, show me something. You know what I mean? And already you've set me up to think something that is, you, first of all, you've already set me up to think that you're fake. Second of all, you've already set me up to make yourself a stress case, because now you've got to impress me upon what you just told me you were. And you know what I mean? And so much of the time, it's just like, it's not necessary. That's all ego. But ego based upon insecurity, not ego going out as in, or energy going out as far as something positive. It's based upon something insecure. So just be who you are. We love mortal people. We love imperfect people. We love people going through a process and trying new things and trying to do things that are maybe impossible or maybe challenging. Like, that's inspirational to me. Don't discredit those moments. Yeah, those that's are the so good, good moments. Those are the stories. That's what compels other people to get past those moments.
Totally.
Not just the milestones.
Totally. I was literally just going to say something along those lines. The first thing I wanted to say was, you make me think of this concept that I follow, is when there are seasons in my life, and whenever there's something that I'm going through, I just remind myself, this is a season, and this will pass, and I can get through to this, but also get through this. And I also was going to point out that, you know, people who are going through something challenging right now, whether it's in their personal life or in their career and with their family, you know, whatever, one, it can be something where you're at, and being present and kind of accepting it and kind of like understanding it. I love that point. But I also like the part that you said about people who have been through things before, and hearing what they've been through and kind of seeing how they've gotten through them, and like listening to other people's stories, I think is great. So like, I mean, that's exactly why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because when we had our pre-chat, you had mentioned so many times where you try to build a business, and you put a ton of time into it, spent a bunch of money on it. And then, you know, you kind of had to make a hard decision to move away from it. And I'd love for you to talk on something like on that, you know, I'm sure there's more than one. I specifically remember you talking about like creating videos and an education on video, if I remember correctly. And, you know, I think hearing that part, that story, would be a great way to kind of tie this all off and like what you went through and, you know, getting over it.
Yeah. If it's the story I'm thinking of, with the production company that I'd hired, yeah, that went south. Yeah. I don't know if this is everybody's story, and I'm gonna say this in a general statement, then I'll get into the specific story. I don't know if this is everybody's story, but because I've never really thought to ask, but I've found that I either am outsourcing my lessons and I'm paying for it. So I'm hiring a consultant, I'm hiring a professional, I'm hiring an expert upon the subject. And again, it's not somebody that says they're an expert on Instagram. It's somebody that I know is an expert or maybe has some sense of, you know, history in their expertise that leads them with experiences to offering me the information that they are. You know, I'm either paying for that on the front end because I'm intelligent enough to resource it, or I'm a dummy, which I am the other 99% of the time, and I'm just trying to figure it out myself. Well, the majority of the time is that I'm trying to figure out things myself because I'm not always intelligent enough to ask smart people to help me. Or I just want to figure it out myself, period, because I am a little adventurist. Yeah, a little Indiana Jones in that sense. I kind of like to dabble in a bunch of different things. But, you know, what I take on upon myself, I have found that I end up spending quite a bit of money. So I either pay somebody on the front end, they give me all their experiences in a short amount of time that gives me advice and it's short and sweet and it's specific and it's direct and it costs me X amount of money, or I spend all my time on it. I have to monetize that time when I'm looking at my free time spent on building things out. And then I'm looking at the fumbling that's happening because I'm going through my first experiences of it as well. And so I'm making mistakes and that costs me money. And, you know, and eventually I get to maybe the same place that I could either just hire somebody to get me directly to, or I'm going to fumble through it to eventually get to it. I usually spend more money when I fumble through things, 9 times out of 10, by tenfold, I would guess. And it's a lot more painful. But I also find the value of, I find value in money, period. I find the value in the money I've earned. And so if I am losing money based upon me wasting it on my own time and accord after I've made it on my own time, I'm taking it really deep and I'm taking it really personal and I'm really finding ownership in it. So the direct path is hire a consultant because that might be the fastest. And actually, as much as it seems expensive on the front end, it might seem to be the most expensive, but yet it's the fastest and it's the most direct. But does it give me the ownership that that counselor or that consultant or that coach has? Does it give me the ownership that they have in it so that when I'm not using them, I know how to pivot? And so some of my lessons come by me just being, again, an adventurous and paying 10 times the amount of money to get to the end result. But it leads me to the place that I need to be to know how to pivot, to find my tenacity and my resilience that we were defining earlier. You know what I mean? So there's not a right answer. There's both directions, but which one's really right? And that's why I said, I don't know what other people think about this. So I'm just going to speak from my own experiences. I spend money no matter what when I'm developing, no matter what. How much I spend is based upon me being organized in the front end and maybe making some strategic sort of assessment and budgeting it all and, you know, moving forward. You know, but a lot of my stuff is, again, just winging it and sort of figuring it out as I go. And then it costs me like $1 billion. And I'm like, oh God, that really sucks. And that's painful. And, you know, and then I put it into some sense of educational format. And I try to share with other people, like a coach might with me, upon my experiences, this is what I would suggest. You know what I mean? Some people will hear it just as I did. And then some people need to fumble through it on their own. So all of these words are just words of experiences that I think we have to individually decide what's important for us and what decisions we're going to make. But to the specific thing that you bring up, I, for all of us listening right now, in 2019, I hired a production company to film the first pillar of my methodology that I wrote. And our methodology, there's 3 different pillars, beginning, intermediate, and advanced. And that's what gives you certification and cutting error. And so again, we hired this company to come out and film some stuff. I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted the end result to look like. And I was hiring them, hoping that they would come to the table with artistic direction, with a sense of professional direction, and a sense of strategy that would allow us to get something that I really didn't know what I wanted. It would allow me to get this in this magical package. Well, shame on me for not being more organized on the front end for understanding what it was that ultimately I really wanted. And if you are going to delegate to any sort of a consultant or a coach or a group that's coming in, you really want to have your ducks in order as far as what your vision is, because somebody may just really easily take a left turn down their vision and it completely derails the whole direction of what your brand was trying to produce. And then you've spent a lot of money and production companies are expensive. So that's exactly what happened with our group. I failed on the front end of being organized. I think they were driving to the best ability of trying to interpret what it could be. And it all just kind of came out wrong. And we spent a lot. I spent, actually, initially, we were supposed to film all three pillars. We only filmed the first pillar. We were supposed to film all three and edit all three. I spent three times the budget on filming the first pillar with not filming the second or the third and no editing of the first pillar. We spent three times the budget for the entire project.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, COVID hit in 2020 and Salon was shut down. I didn't have the production company yet. The Academy, we were still doing in-person trainings and we hadn't finished the content that we just filmed to be able to put it online. So I was sitting on it in 2020 with this raw content of one of the pillars. And I reached out to the company and I said, hey, look, you know, I don't have the money to finish the other two classes. You know, can I buy us out of the contract, get the content that you filmed? I'll have a friend that is really inexpensive with editing. Get it edited for me. I can get it up on a website and I can make some money during 2020. They weren't having it. They were like, nope, our contract was we film all three things. We edit all three things. And until we finish the editing of the third pillar of your methodology, we own the rights 100% to the content.
Wow.
And I said, hey, wait a minute. No. Legality wise, I have all of that, you know, copywritten. It's all trademarked. Everything's protected. Like, you don't own that. And they're like, we don't own your words, but we own the film that we filmed it on. And they started putting their dukes up like this. And I was like, is this really happening? And it really was. And it wasn't the worst thing that ever happened in my life, but 45 grand later to buy them out of the contract, we settled the deal. I got the raw content of the first pillar, which was such shit. We spent another 150K on editing it, and it's still sitting in a bank on my server, unfinished.
Oh my gosh.
We never finished it. But, here's the but, B-U-T with all caps. But it led me to exactly where I needed to be to build the rest of my life. And was it expensive? Yes, it was really expensive. Could I, if I could reverse it, would I? It's challenging to say no, but no, I wouldn't. It really is challenging because I want that money back. I really do want that money back. But no, because it led me to my next greatest moment. You know, it led me to my next greatest discovery. It led me to figuring out what I wanted that content to look like. It taught me so much more about my brand and it forced me to understand it on a level that I hadn't before. It forced me to understand my content and curriculum in a sense of delivery, in a sense of, you know, is it modulized enough? Because I can have a tendency to talk. And so, you know, is it short and sweet? Does it really help the user absorb the information and find their why within incremental amounts of time that continuously stack upon one thing upon the next? And it really got my brain into it on a totally geeky level. And Robert, we talked enough that you can probably understand that I'm a nerd and I go real deep on ones and zeros. I love it. I love it as much as hair. And so figuring out the behind the scenes and the algorithm and the architecture and things is really more of where I'm a true expert than I would say I am in an aesthetic stylist. You know, when it comes to creative aesthetic, like I can dominate when in reading trends, but I'm not the guy that's creating trends, you know what I mean, before other people have seen it. I'm always sort of inspired by it and finding my way in it. But architecturally, I could teach any artist on the planet on how to find sustainability in their work through the architecture of what they're building over and over and over again, regardless of how disciplined they are and how long they've been in the industry and how famous they are. Like, I've been in a role to teach some of the most famous hairdressers on the planet on how to stand in front of all of us and speak about their artistry with a sense of language and concise instruction that allows us to understand their artistry through a technical language. You know, that's where my gifts are, is inside of that. And so, yeah, it led me to that place where I got to be a geek, where I'm like, okay, like, how do I figure this out? And what do I do? And how do I pivot? And pivoting is something that, for me, I've always loved, opposed to other people on the planet and people that are close to me that are like, nope, it's perfect the way it is. Don't ever change it. And you're like, well, guess where you're going to be tomorrow? Same place. You know what I mean? And they're like, I'm happy here. I know it here and I'm cool. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll see you when I get around the world back over here looping again. A lot of people are really safe staying in the same place, but I thrive on building new things and being uncomfortable and being, yeah, I think being uncomfortable is the right word. I'm okay being uncomfortable. And that is part of my accountability in when it comes to doing things wrong. You know what I mean? It allows me to accept the process as you know, the mistakes are leading me to an end result. And, you know, some things are just more expensive than you expect them to be. And that's just part of the process. You know, you can drive down different lanes on how you find your information to get you to where you're going to go, but know that the choice that you make cannot be wrong. The only thing that can be wrong is not doing anything. You know, the choice that you make will only lead you to that next moment where you get to choose again. And what are you doing at that point from all the collected information that led you to that next moment? And every moment after it is a collected moment of all the moments prior. So you're always developing wisdom. And how do you move from that moment? So the company and I, we went through a bunch of crap. It led me to building my own production company. During COVID, I got an EIDL loan. I had a bunch of money that I'd saved up to build the website. And I'll finish all the stuff that I told you that we didn't finish. And so I dumped everything from the EIDL loan and the rest of my money that I was putting in an account to buy a house. I dumped it into the business and I said, you know what? I'm going to finish this. And my intention of building the academy from the beginning was to build it to be an online business, not to do it in person. We only were doing it in person so that we could debunk it and run it through people and make sure it was legit. And when it was debunked, fix it and revise it and improve it and like keep moving and developing it. And that was the only way I could do it. And so, or I knew how to do it, I should say. And so, yeah, it led me to my own production company, which we've talked about. I run production for L'Oreal now, and I get paid a lot of money to do that. And if you would have told me in 2019 that I would have my own production company and be doing this, I would have called you a liar. And I would have told you that you were full of shit. You know, I would have never in a million years believed you. Never. Honestly, I still am trying to define what my job is because I still don't really get it. As I've gotten quite far with it, I still am very much embarking upon a new phase of it every day and not faking it, but learning what I need to know at this moment to show up today. And I say all that because that brings it full circle for us, is that you are going to spend a lot of money. You're going to take different routes. You're always going to have, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to achieve greater things, you're always going to have an ambitious nature. You just can't ever give up. Never. Giving up is not an option. It's just not. And so if you want to give up, that's what failure is. That's how most of the world reads failure. I read failure as a part of a process. You know what I mean? It's just an interim. It's a hiccup. It's the lesson that you needed to develop from. So you're mature today. You're more mature today to make smarter choices.
That's so good. Well, I think that, like you said, it does come full circle with this whole conversation and kind of ties all of these ideas back into a story. And I think that kind of nailed it. You know, you got the acceptance, you have the understanding that this is a period in time, and getting over it, and how do you pivot, and how do you handle those things? And I think I feel like a lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of this. So thank you so much for sharing this story. It's
absolutely
a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this in a closing note, you can't rush excellence. You just can't rush it. And expertise is built upon tremendous amounts of information. Thousands of hours, you know what I mean? So again, we will always use the people that we look at on Instagram and our influencers as inspiration. But just know that there are thousands of hours behind all of their edited reels and all of their stories. There's thousands of hours that we don't see that make them who they are. Don't skip those moments, because that's what gives you your story and that's what makes you special. That's what makes you the gift that we all want to see you turn into if you're not already. So yeah, don't skip the moments. Those are the best points. Find happiness in that moment.
So good. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. And I definitely think that you touched on a couple of things that maybe we can have you back on the show and down the road, and we can talk
always
about
do.
Those. But I love talking with you, and thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And I look forward to seeing the academy grow. And I'm so excited that you said you did your first in live class on the last time we talked, and so that I'm very excited to see more from you.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, we got a lot going on. We need to show just on all the things that we got going on so we can offer it to all of your peeps.
Yeah, that'd be great. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, all for right. sure. You guys, here's my selfish plug. Travis Parker Hair on IG, Travis Parker Academy on IG, Travis Parker Academy on TikTok, Travis Parker Academy on YouTube. We are blowing up YouTube right now through our shorts, and we have a whole focus on YouTube this year that we are going to be building actually full-length shows on and documentaries that I'm working with a number of different influencers in our industry on right now. So yeah, cool. Keep an eye on YouTube because we're going to be smoking YouTube this year.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, and I'll make sure to leave all that in the description below. So if you didn't get it, you can just kind of look in the description below and you can get all of that information. So you can check out Travis. Thank you so much.
You're the man. You're the man.
All right. Well, have a good one. And I will be talking to you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, everybody. See you guys soon. Cheers.
All right. That was great. I thought that was that was incredible. And so thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. I hope I didn't take all your questions. Like I said, I can just start to talk and then.
No, it's funny because
storytelling with grandpa.
Yeah, it's like there's these points that I wanted to like kind of highlight. And so that's why I had to kind of go back a little bit in the story. You were literally like taking as the ideas were forming in my head. You would say them, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
You're like, "You're dick. You are dick. You keep taking my questions."
No, it's good. It's
Don't
good
steal because, my show.
Well, sometimes, like I will ask a question, and I will get an answer I don't expect, and which is totally cool and totally fine. But I love it when I feel like we're on a similar wavelength in one of these episodes. So that was good. I liked it.
Rad, dude. Rad. Well, I totally appreciate the opportunity. It was really nice to rap with you, and I'm happy to hop on the show whenever you want to.
All right.
Cool. Even if you want to bring on like additional people too, where you got, you know, two or three of us on there, and I'm happy to sort of join into a group chat or help you as a co-host if you ever want like a co-host too.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be great. I'm actually one of the things we want to work on at some point. Working on the first one, doing like a multi-person show or episode or something. So yeah, that is something that I'm going to be working on. So that's good to know. And
Also,
I'm going to be once I get like a date on the calendar, it'll probably take a couple weeks, but as soon as I could get around to like your episode, when we drop it, I'm going to send you the content just in case you want to, you know, use it, do anything, you know, post it or something. And
100%, yeah.
And then also one last thing before we get off. Let me just pull something up here. Where's it? Let's see. You sent me. Okay, yeah, I don't have it. Could you do me one thing actually? Could you send me all of the things that you said at the end? Like the handles and the channels and the links and like what links you want me to put in the description?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let me just write myself a note and I'll send it to you later.
Okay, cool.
Okay. When do you plan on putting this up?
Honestly, I don't have a date. I could, let's see here. It's going
to
be,
not that it matters. I just want to make sure I don't click on you. I'm going on a vacation tomorrow and I'll have a little bit of time in the morning before I take off. So I'll try to get it to you before.
Oh, it's going to be like probably 6 weeks. I mean, I might bump your first one in a little sooner than that, but, I'm actually not scheduling any more interviews for probably a month because I'm on I got a backlog, which is a really amazing.
That's rad.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm very happy about it. Yeah. So I just got to kind of get through some of this content and, you know, I just kind of get the opportunity to talk to somebody that I want to talk to and I want to kind of seize it and then, kind of shuffle the schedule around a little bit. So, I mean, things come up, you know, I'm not going to not take the opportunity to talk to somebody, but at the same time, that's kind of where we're at right now. So I think, you know, just to get an idea, I haven't even updated my schedule, but yeah, it'll probably be around 6 weeks. So if something comes up a little sooner than that, I'll definitely give you plenty of heads up. I'll give you at least a few weeks notice before we drop it.
Cool. Rad, dude.
Awesome.
Dude, dope. Yeah, let me know if you need anything else. I'll get this over to you. I got a little post-it right there on my computer, which is how I take notes. And I'll get that over to you. If you need anything else, let me know. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the show. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
All right, man. Well, take care. Have a good one.
All right, brother. Peace, man.
All right. See ya.
Later.